Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking about the future of the news media with so many changes going on in print, we're joined by Anne-Marie Fronczak, who has kind of a lengthy time in news and print media, and also now a professor at SUNY Buffalo State. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And now we're looking at kind of the future of the news media, the print media, what's gone on over the past really few months, especially here in New York State. Is it surprising to you to see all the changes that have been made for some, it seems like, really rapidly?
You know, it really shouldn't be all that much of a surprise to anybody. When you think about the history of the media, newspapers had primacy for hundreds of years, really. And radio came, changes. Television came, changes. And now newspapers, radio, and television are dealing with the internet, and the internet is causing all sorts of tumult, across the legacy media. So it really shouldn't be very surprising. I think that the industry, particularly most dramatically the newspaper industry, is in a period of adjustment.
You know, Anne-Marie, it didn't just happen. I mean, the internet's been with us now for a long time. Does it seem maybe that the newspaper industry kind of went kicking and screaming into the digital age?
The newspaper industry famously has gone kicking and screaming across all of the different changes. They didn't think that radio would have an impact. Then they didn't think that television would have an impact. And they were very slow to adapt to the internet and to an online presence, which is part of the problem, because when they did finally wake up to the internet, they were giving their stuff away for free. And now that's what people expect, free information.
Yeah, tough to go back from that. And I would imagine when it comes to, you know, the physical nature of the print media, it's hard to adapt to that 24-hour news cycle when there's always some sort of breaking news going on. There can't always be breaking news on a piece of paper.
No. And that's why newspapers now all claim to be 24/7, and they don't have to wait for the print edition to come out at 5:30 in the morning. If they have something breaking overnight, it can go online, and so on and so forth throughout the day. And even, you know, television. I was speaking to someone, I believe it was at Channel 2, and they feel that their 6 o'clock or their evening newscasts are just value added, that the real value of their reporting happens throughout the day online.
Yeah. The internet platforms, that's the presence.
Yeah, absolutely.
For pretty much every, you know, anybody that's in the media business.
Everybody, sure.
We're joined live in studio by Anne-Marie Fronczak, a professor at SUNY Buffalo State, but also a lengthy career in print journalism. You saw the cuts made this week at the New York Daily News, half the newsroom staff. You know, as somebody who's worked in print before, what does that do to the newsroom? Not just to the paper, but to the morale of everyone working there and, you know, what's going through the minds of everyone as they're reporting?
Well, fortunately, in my career, I haven't had that experience of devastation in the newsroom. I can only say that I have had the experience of my expectations increasing. Early on in my career, I wrote stories. I interviewed people over the phone. I went out to meetings. I wrote stories, and at the end of the day, I went home. As the industry progressed, I remember having to go walk down the street to WBEN and give business headlines. So there was a radio element of it. There was a time when we would go on television and give some business headlines on television. So there was more added to our daily, daily expectations. And then, my goodness, then the web comes, right? So now the reporters are required to tweet a certain number of times a day, to post on the website a certain number of times a day. So the time spent doing various tasks on the job is becoming more challenging. So you have, I can only imagine, you have fewer people in a newsroom. That only exacerbates the amount of work that the remaining people have to do. So it's, I'm sure it's going to be a much, much bigger challenge to cover the news as it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think they let go over 40 people at the New York Daily News. So that's half of their newsroom. And they'll still, even though they say there's a new strategy, there's a new focus, there's still half the people that are trying to cover the news.
Absolutely. 45 people out of the newsroom. Most of the sports department, all of the photographers, and an equal amount of people, 43 or so people from the rest of the organization. So almost 100 people were cut from the whole newspaper operation. So I hope their strategy works. I hope they know what they're doing.
Well, now you're in the position where you're teaching those who are looking to get into this industry. You see a story like this, what are you telling your students?
You know, my students aren't talking about, very few of my students are talking about going into legacy media. Some are saying, I want to be in radio, I want to be in television, I want to be in newspapers. Some are, and they're pursuing those jobs, and many of them are getting them. But far more students are looking at online news operations, online reporting, online blogging operations. And, you know, I think their parents are more worried. They seem almost nonplussed about what's going on in the industry that involves legacy media.
So they don't seem to be affected by this.
They really don't seem to be affected by it. They really don't. I don't see massive, hand-wringing and worry about it. They really don't consume legacy media, as maybe we all know. They're online. They're looking at BuzzFeed. They're looking at HuffPost, and they're looking at things other than what I look at.
Anne-Marie Fronczak is in studio with us this morning. She's had a lengthy career in print media at Business First. She's a journalism professor currently at SUNY Buffalo State. Anne-Marie, on this critical Department of Commerce decision that's coming down next week. We're looking at this tariff on groundwood paper, which is has increased so much that it's putting a lot of papers on the brink. Do you think the federal government will step in? Should they step in?
You wonder what role the government has in keeping the media active. It would certainly be to their benefit, I would think. Whether they will in this case, I really have no idea. But I really find it the conclusion that it is going to put papers out of business is a little short-sighted. Maybe it's going to push them further onto the internet. The hard copy paper, the paper that requires this pulp from Canada, that audience is getting older and dying out, and the generation that's coming up behind it isn't going to be looking at hard copy papers anymore. So maybe this is the juncture where newspapers look more to an online presence.
Are they doing that, do you think, right now?
I think it goes back to that what we started out with. I think newspapers are clinging to their old ways of doing things. They are having a hard time relinquishing the print copy. And many papers have, as I've heard earlier on as you reported earlier, many papers have cut down on the number of days that they print. They're online 7 days a week, but their print copy only comes out maybe three times a week, or only on Fridays, or only on Sundays, or something like that. So maybe they're inching ever so slowly to a fully online presence.
I mean, what's wrong with just a digital presence anymore?
That's my argument. I subscribe to the Buffalo News online. I read it online. Interestingly enough, though, I read the e-edition online. I like paging through it. That's my habit in my mind. When I look at the paper that way, I'm having a conversation with
you
the
editors. You want to look at a newspaper.
I want to look at the newspaper, but I also want to have that conversation with the editors. Oh, why did you put this on the front page? Why is this buried? Why is this such a small story? Why is this such a big story? I like that conversation with the editors that I have by looking at how they placed stories, in some sort of a print edition, even though it might be online.
We've been following the moves this week at the New York Daily News. They cut half of their newsroom staff this week. It followed some similar cuts at the Buffalo News a few weeks earlier. And we're talking about the decline in newspapers with Anne-Marie Fronczak. She is a professor of journalism at SUNY Buffalo State. She also had a career in print at Business First here in Buffalo. You know, Anne-Marie, how we read a newspaper is so different. It's really generational, isn't it? With the older generation needing to hold on to that newspaper.
Yeah, it's a habit. I think it's become a habit with, the older generation. And those habits are changing. You can just look down at any street and you can see a younger person looking down at their phone. So they're developing a whole different set of habits. And this is where newspapers are caught in between these two generations.
I mean, I've got kids that never look at the paper.
They get their news. A hard copy.
Right.
So, I hear people frame this as the death of newspapers, and it's not the death of newspapers. It's the death of the slow dying of the paper copy. It's newspapers will always be around. They'll be online.
Mm-hmm. It'll be like one of many things that it doesn't really go away. It just changes how we use it. Like a telephone. The telephone has never gone away, but we just don't have phones and pay phones and things like that are around. It's just a different version of it.
It's a different system of distribution. It'll always be there. And there are so many of them online now. There have never been so many opportunities for my students and others in journalism programs to write and to practice journalism. The online options are tremendous.
You mentioned that caught in between, though, and that's got to be a tough spot for papers because you don't want to be accused of abandoning those who only read that physical copy.
Well, that's right, and I think that's where they're caught. You know, they have loyal, very loyal, well, I would hope loyal, people who are interested in the hard copy. And so, to put all of that online is to cut off that whole group of people, that piece of your audience.
Sure. Now, your students, are there as many students today as there have been in the past for journalism?
Interestingly enough, it is growing. It's leveled off a little bit because colleges everywhere are worried about enrollment, just with the numbers of high school kids that there are. It's just like anything else. Something is constantly in the news. There's a drumbeat about a certain thing, and it becomes top of mind to people. But more so than that, students follow their skills, their interests into college. So these are kids who, as soon as their parents could put their dimpled fingers on keyboards, they have been editing video, they have been taking audio and editing audio and writing blogs and in their own ways. And so they have developed a certain skill level and that they're interested in, and they move that into college. And that's really, I think, what's fueling a lot of journalism programs.
We're talking about the decline of newspapers this morning. Our in-studio guest is Anne-Marie Fronczak. Anne-Marie is a professor of journalism, SUNY Buffalo State. She also worked for years in print at Buffalo's Business First. So you know really all about this from kind of both ends of the spectrum. But Anne-Marie, let's look at the future of newspapers. And I mean, the model right now, is it working with these digital subscriptions?
Yeah, clearly it's not working. The newspapers are losing ads on the print side, and they're gaining ads on the digital side, but not to the degree that they're losing it on the print side. So the model is not working. Newspapers are trying different things to try to stay above water. And there's a couple of interesting examples, some that work, some that haven't worked. There was a effort called Journalism Online, where there was going to be a paywall across all newspapers, and anytime you hit a story, it would be a micropayment of a couple of cents. That didn't work out. There are too many blind spots with that. But The Guardian in the UK claims that this is working. They are selling tiered membership to their newspaper. Different payment structure gets you different bits of access and benefits like discounted tickets or advanced reservations to events and so forth. And then locally, there's Investigative Post, Jim Heaney's operation. It's nonprofit, and he is getting tremendous support from grants and from individuals to keep doing what he's doing. And he's not alone. There are 155 operations like his across the country. So there are new models that are being tested, but clearly the model we've known is not working.
So we're working on changing, and you're teaching some of these kids getting into the industry now, working at SUNY Buffalo State. They, I'm sure, see this changing. They're getting all their news from online. What are they saying to you when they come in? Do they want to work at a newspaper, or are they saying, I want to work in journalism?
They want to work, for the most part, they want to work in journalism. They want to work in sports. They want to work in entertainment. And some are interested in investigation. Some are interested in politics and government. But a few of them say that they want to work for a particular medium. And really, the program, and any journalism program out there, I would hope, is teaching the students how to write, how to take video, how to edit video, how to take audio and edit audio, how to put together a story using all of these elements. That wasn't the case before. When I went to school, I learned how to write. And the broadcast students learned how to broadcast radio. And now students really need to know a little bit of everything. Because who ever heard of a television reporter writing a feature story, a print-style feature story that's going to go online? Who ever heard of a radio reporter taking video or photos and putting them online? Who ever heard of a print reporter getting in front of a camera? So all of these skills are being taught to students, so they are marketable across any kind of industry that they go into.
So when they come out, then they are more marketable. And are you finding that many of them are getting jobs?
The students who are really motivated, they're getting internships, they're getting all kinds of experience they can on campus, they're going into mentorships, they're the ones that are getting the jobs. So they really, the ones who are really motivated, they're the ones that are landing in the industry.
It's like any industry, really, when you think
true.
About it.
Yeah.
Looking at how, we've been talking so much about how newspapers have changed, how the landscape has changed. With this president, I mean, the whole news industry is changing with the way people talk about it. Fake news was never a thing just 2 years ago. That term didn't really exist in anyone's mind. Has that, in your mind, increased the, interest in finding new outlets online and finding new ways to look at news and in students who want to get into reporting?
Some students are motivated by the attitude of the current president to get into journalism. So that has helped in some way. I'm also hearing that there are subscriptions that are increasing to various news outlets because of the atmosphere in Washington. President Trump isn't unique. There hasn't been a single president that's been in love with the media. You think Richard Nixon liked the Washington Post and the New York Times? George W. Bush famously said he doesn't read newspapers. Hillary Clinton said the same thing when she was first lady. So there's no love lost between the media and the White House.
Anne-Marie, great discussion this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Yeah. Anne-Marie Fronczak, professor of journalism, SUNY Buffalo State. If you missed any of this, you can find it on demand at WBEN.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.